Good morning. It's good to be with you today and share in this series on some of the heroes that we have chosen from the Bible. I want to thank Andrew and the staff for giving me the opportunity to be a part of this process. Today, as we talk a little bit, I'd like for you to remember a number of things, but especially remember two words: encouragement and attitude. I'm sure that many of you, or at least some of you in my age bracket and maybe a little younger, might remember Viktor Frankl. He was a great Austrian psychiatrist and well known from his writings and his teachings. He was during the Nazi period arrested and put into Auschwitz, along with most of his family. They lost their lives in one of the prison camps, but he survived. But while he was there, he began to observe the behavior and the responses of many of the people that were in the camp with him. And he came to realize a certain thing that became germane for his own theories of psychology that he would write on later in his life. And this was one of the chief things that he learned. Everything can be taken from a person, but one thing, the last of human freedoms, the ability to choose one's attitude in any given set of circumstances. The ability to choose one's attitude or attitudes. Many of you have heard the line, "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me." And you know it's a lie. It's just not true. Words can hurt. They can cut into us. They can make a difference. It's something that once we speak to somebody, we can't recall it, just like taking a shot at something. Boy, can't you do anything right? You know, that tape still plays in my head from time to time. It happened many, many years ago, but I still occasionally hear that tape. Contrary to that, my grandmother used to say something that many of you know: if you can't say something good about somebody, don't say anything at all. There are yay-sayers, there are naysayers. Now, that's a kind of a generalization to say that about life, but put yourself in one of those camps. Do you tend to be a person that encourages, that is enthusiastic as an advocate for someone else, that buoys them up, that reminds them of their abilities, their capabilities, the things that God has given to them that can be shared in the community? Or do you tend to be the naysayer, the one that finds something that's just a bit wrong with anything that happens in life? It can be a beautiful, sunny, cool day, but the sun is too bright, or the weather's too hot, or the wind is too strong. Something is wrong. So I, in a general way, think of this today as the naysayers and the yay-sayers. And I've chosen a yay-sayer to consider today. The person that I have chosen would never make the headlines of the Jerusalem Post, but he made an impact on the early church, and he made an impact on a particular character that we know a good bit about, who wrote a fair amount of the New Testament, the Apostle Paul. He chose to develop an attitude of an encourager, one who would speak the positive, encourage the person to give an uplift, to give hope. His name was Joseph, but the apostles nicknamed him Barnabas, the son of encouragement, or as it says in the Common English Bible, one who encourages. I thought about Matthew last week saying, something about Googling a word that he was interested in, and that people didn't use dictionaries anymore. Well, Matthew, I used a dictionary and I looked up the definition for encouragement. Then I did Google it afterwards just to kind of verify it. And both definitions were pretty much the same. To inspire with hope, courage, or confidence. An encourager. Barnabas was from the island of Cyprus, which is about 60 miles west of Syria in the Mediterranean Sea. It was a busy island in this particular time of Barnabas. Barnabas was born there, raised there. He was from the tribe of Levi, a priestly family. Cyprus was an important place in that time because it was the place for copper mining. And countries all around the Mediterranean world imported copper from Cyprus. Well, he was an important guy, and we find a good bit about him, but I want to depart from Barnabas just for a minute and say something about Saul, because Barnabas has a role in Saul's life, which we will see in just a moment. But you remember that Saul was a persecutor of the church. He was on his way to Damascus to persecute the church when Jesus confronted him and knocked him to the ground. And you know the story, how he was blinded. He went to Damascus. Ananias visited him, prayed with him, taught him. Saul became a Christian. The scales of his eyes fell off, and he began to preach in Damascus, saying that this one that he had persecuted, Jesus Christ, was the Son of God. He was the Messiah. He was the Savior. And you can imagine what the Jews in Damascus thought about him. Here he was. He had come to persecute this offshoot religion, this Christian faith that had kind of risen up almost out of the grasslands. And they were very upset, very much afraid of this man. So they decided to kill him. And there was a plot developed, but the apostles helped him escape. And for some reason, which we're not entitled to from Scripture, he decided to go to Jerusalem. The Jerusalem church was the center of the Christian faith at that time. And I suppose maybe he thought that to get his bona fides, he needed to go there and present himself. But they were afraid of him too. You can imagine that with the reputation that Saul had as a persecutor of the Christian church, that the Christian church in Jerusalem would be very, very concerned about who this guy was that was now beginning to preach. And I'm sure questions rose in their mind as well as the fear. But we find in this story that he had an advocate, one who would encourage him and encourage the church to accept him and to allow him to preach. And that person was Barnabas. Barnabas was the one that told the story. He kind of related all that had happened to Saul on his way to Damascus, all that had happened to him in terms of his conversion and how he had begun to preach in Damascus and how significant that really was. So he wanted them to accept him and allow him to preach in the name of Jesus. So they gave him their blessing. And the scriptures tell us that he was then able to move freely within the Christian community. An advocate. Have you ever needed an advocate? Well, one day, some years ago, I was sitting in my office in the church. It was a Friday afternoon, and Linda and I had made arrangements to go away for the weekend with a couple that were friends of ours. I got a telephone call from the dean of Catonsville Community College, and he posed this question: would you consider teaching a course in world religion for our adult education program? Well, I was interested in world religions, but I hadn't done anything with it for quite a few years, and I certainly wasn't up to date. So I said, well, when does the class start? He said, Wednesday. And of course, that was a shock to me. I got a call on Friday. I was going to be gone all weekend. The course started on Wednesday. Did you ever find that your brain was telling you, no, 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 no? But somehow you heard your lips say, well, maybe I'll give it a shot. Well, I did. And the first class that I had there were about 30 people there, I guess. And after I was introduced by one of the faculty at the college, he left. And I opened it for any questions people wanted to ask before we began. And this man sitting on the front row kind of looked over his glasses at me and he said, what credentials do you have to teach this class? I could have used the Barnabas right then. Someone to speak for me, because I didn't have a whole lot to say. I didn't want to tell him that I only knew about this a few days before. But we went on and things got better. I could have used an encourager. Barnabas was a trusted part of the church, remember. So he prepared the way for Paul, but later he also was sent to Antioch because he was such a trusted man within that community of Jerusalem, which was the mother church of the Christian faith at that time. They sent him to Antioch because they had heard that there were good things happening in Antioch, but that also some of the Gentiles were beginning to believe in Jesus. And up to that time, the ministry was primarily, and the witness was primarily, to the Jewish community. Barnabas went to Antioch. He was very pleased and happy with what he saw, and he encouraged the church there to continue preaching in the name of Jesus. And then he went to Tarsus to get Paul and brought him back to help in that ministry. And he and Paul stayed in Antioch for almost a year preaching the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us that in Antioch, that was the first time that the followers of Jesus were called Christians. An interesting little sidelight. I wonder what our lives would be like if, like Paul and I'm sure many others too, they had a Barnabas. Someone to advocate for us, someone to encourage us, someone to inspire hope and confidence in us. What about you? Would you like to be an encourager, a son or a daughter of encouragement, as Barnabas was named? I heard a TED talk a few weeks ago, and the woman that was giving the TED talk in the course of that spoke about preparing to run a marathon. She had never run before, never run at least that far, and she prepared, and she said in her presentation that according to what is written about marathon runners and the experience, which I don't know, she said about the seventh mile is where you sort of hit the wall and you either decide to go on or you drop out at that point. And she said some of her friends were there at the seventh mile and they had signs, you are awesome, you can make it, go for it. She said that gave her the courage to go on, and she was able to finish the race. I thought about that in terms of this sermon. We need people that can tell us that we're awesome. People that can remind us that we have within us goodness and abilities, and the community will be enriched if we are willing to share them. I think about the time when Jesus was asked, what is the greatest commandment? I think this is so important what he said in terms of how we prepare ourselves to receive the encouragement of the encouragers, the advocates. You remember what Jesus said when he was asked, what's the most important commandment? Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Now, I've heard that used in so many sermons. I've used it myself. But I was just thinking about this in terms of we emphasize the love of God, which is important. We emphasize the love of neighbor, which is very important too. But we sometimes forget that last phrase, as we do ourselves. Now, I'm not asking us to be narcissists, idolize ourselves, but I am wanting to remember that even in the book of Genesis, the very first chapter, it says we are created in the image of God. Created in the image of God. And Psalm 8 picks up this same theme and says, we are created a little less than the angels and crowned with glory and honor. That's you and me. People loved by God, given wonderful abilities within, things to share in life to both enrich ourselves and those who receive what we share. Do not deny yourself, because if you can affirm yourself and your own worth, then it will be much easier to affirm the worth and the abilities and the possibilities in your neighbor or even the people within your own home. Now, I don't have an easy way for us to really develop this idea of the encourager to choose to do that. But I do have some things that speak to me, and maybe in some way they'll speak to you. Now, I don't know if you can see this, but this little piece has been hanging in my office for quite a few years. It's a Cherokee proverb. And it's like this. There is a battle of two wolves inside us all. One is evil. It is anger, jealousy, greed, resentment, lies, inferiority, and ego. The other is good. It is joy, peace, love, hope, humility, kindness, empathy, and truth. The wolf that wins is the question mark. Which wolf wins? The one that we feed. It's simple, but in some ways profound. And the question is, what do we fill our minds with? What do we fill our hearts with? Do we read the scriptures at all? Do we take into account what Jesus taught and how he lived, and how he emphasized love and order and justice and mercy and peace? The Apostle Paul, who Barnabas advocated for, has some things to say that I would share with you as positive food for the mind and the heart. In Philippians 4:8, Paul writes, from now on, brothers and sisters, if anything is admirable, focus your thoughts on these things. And you see, in a sense, it's a choice, just like we said before, choosing your attitude or choosing to focus on these things. And these were the things: all that is true, all that is holy, all that is just, all that is pure, all that is lovely, and all that is worthy of praise, practice these things, he says. And then later, even maybe from the practice or even having in our minds things that we're trying to attain, in Galatians chapter 5, he talks about the fruits of the Spirit. And I'm sure many of you know that passage, but he talks about the fact that the fruits of the Spirit are known. They are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These are positive things. These are hopeful things. These are characteristics that energize and give life and include and not exclude. They remind us that all lives do matter. They are precious to God. And these are the characteristics that we can embody if we become, like Barnabas, the encouragers, the advocates for our neighbor. I would just like to ask you today, how do you want to be known? Do you want to be known as a yay-sayer or a nay-sayer? Do you choose to develop the attitudes of the encourager? Or just allow the things that have hurt you in life to continue to give you that sense of something's wrong with everything? I would suggest that, like this little Cherokee proverb, that we find ways to feed the good wolf. Give him the good stuff. Be known as a Barnabas, a son or a daughter of encouragement. Amen.